Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Middays with Susie Larson. It's only just a matter of... Thank you, Dr. Troy, for sticking around in studio so we could just provide a little more bonus material for our listeners. It just seems like the time flies so fast. So, you know, one of the questions that came in that we never got to answer was your thoughts on CBD oil. And what's so funny, friends, I just got to share this, is when I went in for one of my appointments, I'm like, Doc, congratulations. You were in an article in Christianity Today. And his eyebrows went up to the middle of his head. And he's like, wait, what? And he didn't even know. So somebody interviewed him. And then they posted the article in Christianity Today, which I just think that's a pretty big deal. It's probably good you don't know that stuff because you might get a kind of a big head.
Yeah, yeah. No, I've got enough people in my life to,
yeah, right,
to
exactly.
Keep that
intact, right?
Yep, exactly.
But it is a pretty amazing thing. But tell us what you think about it.
So there's a lot of value there, and again, there's a lot of discernment. So CBD oil with THC, I do not recommend. Anything that alters your ability to function that way is not necessarily good, but there's a lot of value, in especially in the research, with things like seizure disorders and pain. And so we use oils for a lot of different things. Oils have been throughout the Bible and have been used to help people at different times or given as gifts. So there's a lot there. With CBD, there's a lot of good and bad, and it depends, again, how it's been made. And whenever I have a general rule, if God made it, it's good. If man altered it, beware. And so you have to be discerning with the quality. Because of the research that's come out and showing the effectiveness of it, it's important to discern through the process of what's good and what's not. The first thing I check is if people are looking or asking me if they can be put on it or something like that, I tell them very, very clearly, I like to use the one that doesn't give you a high. If they look disappointed, I know what they're really after.
Interesting. Wow.
And so, and there are people who that it'll be abused, and it has been abused.
Yeah.
Then there's also distributors of products that are making cheaper, ineffective products because of they've rushed to market because of the new literature bandwagoning it, and they are not doing it right. So good and bad companies, I don't have a full list of that just yet, but there are some, I've seen some really significant changes with patients that have used it to help get them to the next level. I had a suicidal patient where it was one of the main players in getting him off of his pain medications, his opiates, and he's still with us, so no longer suicidal. And so that was a very, very important part of getting him to the next step.
Well, I have a friend who's got lupus, and it's been life-changing for her for sleep.
Yes.
Why would that be?
So CBD is one of the things that helps regulate the dopamine-serotonin imbalance. So earlier in the show today, we had a caller with a three-year-old who wasn't able to sleep through the night. And if they get excited, some certain people with what's called COMT genetic defects can't clear the dopamine or the adrenaline out of their body as efficiently, so it stays in there circulating, causing more excitation in the brain. CBD oil dampens that response and makes it easier for the dopamine to be cleared out through the body.
Interesting.
Same with melatonin as well, the deep sleep hormone.
So melatonin also helps with that.
Yes.
So there used to be the thought, Doc, that melatonin was only to be used for a short amount of time, then get off of it. But I have been hearing that for some, it actually is a contributor to their health.
That'll be mostly the people with that same COMT genetic disorder.
Interesting.
So they won't be able to, they'll be able to take more of it and still require more of it. Other people will take it and just get drowsy the next day. So that's kind of telling you it's not a problem. But there are a lot of people that will need it. And as we age, we lose the ability to make it. So as you get into your 50s and 60s and 70s, more people will need it and will notice a difference from it. But before the age of 50, it's usually the genetic people with, and they usually present as with insomnia or anxiety and pain. Those are the three things, the people with that genetic disorder, those are the three main things that they present with.
Well, I've had insomnia my whole life. And when you add lime into that, I mean, which came first, the chicken or the egg, as far as what's making me sicker, you know, not getting the rest or not being able to heal because I'm not getting the rest. And you are someone who really convinced me that there is a secret sauce for me to plug the holes, as we were talking. And I take magnesium, I take melatonin, and I've got this kind of basic, you know, set of supplements I take at night. But once I started to consistently sleep, it was like I built up reserves. I know that's one of the reasons that I'm starting to move forward by leaps and bounds, because more often than not, anyway, I'm sleeping. And I'm just like, is this what normal people feel like? Because, you know, if you don't get sleep, people have no idea what that is like. It's torture.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely. And for me, if I can get people sleeping deeply through the night, then that's my way of just kind of seeing that God is healing them every night.
Wow.
Because we don't even know what we don't know about what God put in our body to happen every night. All I know is when I was a kid and I went to the playground and I got bruised and banged up, I'd wake up the next morning feeling like $1 million. And so God put stuff inside of us that's equivalent to a $10 billion pharmacy. Where it
Amazing.
Just works without us having to do anything. Not that I'm lazy, but I love the fact mm-hmm. that God is working on us every night, and He designed that within us. So if I can get people sleeping, it's like me being able to take a break and say, God, you take it from here.
Amen. I love that. Well, there's a several scripture that I just declare over myself every night. You grant sleep to those you love, and I know you love me. That's what I often say. Even at night, my heart instructs me, because scripture says that. So I try to imagine, not only am I want sleep, Lord, but I want my heart to instruct me. I want to move forward in health, in my spirit, in wisdom. I'm going to reclaim this night thing if it's the last thing I do, because I've lived for so long with that torture of just lying awake all night long. So, friend, if that's you, and I mean, there's millions. I don't know what the stats are, Doc, but lots and lots of people battle with insomnia.
Yeah, tens of millions of people wow. battle with sleep disorders, and there's over 102 different sleep disorders. Yeah. Insomnia is just one of many.
That's one of the many books that he's being charged to write, for sure. Okay, let's talk a bit. You mentioned during the show quality air. This is a very big deal. And, there's a unit called an Austin Air Unit that's really great for purifying your air. And, I think everybody, you know, when something news of something gets out, people jump on the bandwagon, and it's hard to discern, you know, is every air purifier an air purifier? So say a word about that, because, I know it may feel like I can't afford an air purifier, but we do afford things at times. You know, there's ways, if you really see the benefit of it, that somehow I believe you can make it work. Ask God to help you. But what do you say about that whole thing? Because it would be an investment, but it's worth it.
Absolutely. We can't afford not to have clean air. So,
yeah.
And people don't know what they don't know yet as far as the costs of poor health. For example, we're doing a lot of work with Alzheimer's, and the lab testing can be expensive for Alzheimer's. But when you compare the cost of the test for Alzheimer's, it's actually less than 1% of just 1 year in a memory care unit.
Hmm.
And it's very, very expensive. So by taking care of yourself now and focusing on these basics of clean air, clean food, clean water, you really are saving costs and suffering much later on.
Wow.
Later on. And we're seeing that people are not necessarily dying younger now because of our advancements in medicine, but they're suffering longer.
Wow.
So that's not necessarily a quality of life.
No kidding.
And what's the consequence of that? We're going to see more and more people looking at ending their own lives because the suffering's
yeah.
so bad, and you start to lose yourself. Chronic pain
you do.
Leads to chronic depression, and you lose who you are.
Yeah.
God does not want that.
Mm.
Satan wants that. God does not.
Amen. You know, I know of a young family who moved into acute house, but it's probably 20-year-old house. But since they've moved in, they've had sinus issues, perpetual colds, cough, croup. And, you know, me, I'm just going, I think there's something in that house.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah. And it's very, very common. And there's things called VOCs, volatile organic compounds. And so we could be seeing mycotoxins from mold. Number one cause that people just don't know about is mold. Number two, it can be dust mites. And there are a lot of people who have allergies to dust mites, and so it's a cleaning up of the dust. Their air ducts need to be clean. Number three, it can be new carpet, but that'll eventually go away. It could be old carpet that's got mold in it as well. There's all kinds of other things that can affect the quality as well of the air, and we're looking at making sure your filters are changed and just doing an assessment. If you move into a home and you have reactions with either your breathing, your lungs, coughing, a tickle in your throat, your eyes, the things that are sensitive to the barrier, your barrier systems, then you'll notice and you'll feel it. And there is something in the house. You've got to check it out and discern through it.
Take me with you. I'll tell you.
Yes.
Sorry.
Susie can tell you if there's mold in the house instantly.
Bam.
Yeah.
So let's say, though, someone's going, okay, that describes me. My family, we have perpetual colds. Our eyes are itching. And, you know, it's interesting is they say when the whites of your eyes are always red, that is also a sign that there's something in the environment that's bugging you. I mean, it seems obvious, but people just, I think, you know, deal with it and don't think about it.
Yep. They just see it as they go to the store and they get eye drops because their eyes are dry. That's not the problem.
Right.
That's like trying to put a Band-Aid on an open wound. There's something there that you have to look at and discern through.
So what would they do? You know, getting an air purifier probably isn't the first step. Or is it?
Well, sometimes when you go into a place like this, you actually start to lose your ability to think through things properly. So it can be the first step. And if you feel better putting an air purifier in, then that's good. Now go to work and find out what's contaminating your air. And it can be from the basement where gases are being released, and you just have to do a quick test with that. Home Depot actually has a bunch of things for air quality on a shelf to test. They have mold plates, cost $8 to $9.
Wow.
If you put a mold, follow the directions, if you put a mold plate in a room and mold grows, you've got a contamination issue down there. They also have, you can collect dust. There's a great website called survivingmold.com that can have people collect the dust, send it in, and you can, from the vacuum cleaner in different areas, and you can check and see if it's okay to live in there. There's also at Home Depot, they have different tests for radon and things like that. So go ahead and get those things done. And we're talking for less than $30, $40. You can get all of those things tested for air quality. I know the online test at Surviving Mold's a little more, but you can really get a sense of what's working, what's not working. Also, depending on your symptoms, there are allergy tests that you can do. Go to an allergist and test for dust mites, dog and cat allergies. Some people will move in and there's actual problems with the dogs or cats that used to be there. It's in the carpet. It's not their dogs or cats, or they may never have had one, and now they find out they're really sensitive to that. So find out what it is, and then if you move from town to town, whatever is in the yard might be affecting you. So if you open the windows at nighttime to get fresh air in, and there's a tree in the yard that's unique to you, or that you didn't know you had an allergy or sensitivity to it, that might be part of the problem too. So it's not just in the house. It's what's around the house as well. Another really sneaky one is bat droppings in the attic. Believe it or not, we run into that all the time. You're actually breathing the air, there's different types of toxins in bat droppings. And so bats will fly in, nest in the attic, and you don't know they're there.
And what would be some of the health implications of that?
Usually it's a lung problems, and so it's a lot of challenges with lung congestion that can eventually affect the brain.
Wow.
And even rat or mouse droppings as well can cause
Can we get through one show with Dr. Troy without talking about poop? I'm just asking.
Nope. It's that important.
It is that important. That's right. I'm just not grown up enough to be able to handle the conversation. But so how do you keep your air pure at your house? I mean, I like the Austin air just because that's what was recommended to me, and it seems like it's working for us, but I know there's plenty of other options.
Yeah, for us, we had an air quality issue. I noticed a spot on our carpet, and there was no good reason for it to be there. And found out, I pulled up the carpet, and there was a little bit of water, moisture coming in there, found a whole bunch of mold.
Mm.
And so I pay attention to the windowsills and then different areas. We got that all fixed and corrected. Checking the furnace filter is a big part of it, and then air purifiers are also a big part of it. We also have the oil, what do you call them, the lamps there that...
The diffusers?
The diffusers, no. Yep. So we'll use a diffuser to help because that will bind a lot of things in the
air
too.
Really? What kind of oil?
Essential oils. So we mix it up depending on what we want to do, sleep deeper or...
Wow. But that ones. Binds to
Yeah, it helps clean up some of the air quality, and it helps with mood, too. So when you have 10 kids, you need to be in more of a positive mood.
You need 10 diffusers.
So we have 30 in our house. I think it's a bit excessive. No, we don't have that. I'm joking. We should.
Yeah, that's fantastic. We didn't plan to talk about to that extent about air quality, but I think that was maybe really important. One more thing. Let's talk methylation. What is it? What do we need to know about it?
So methylation is basically a methyl group is a carbon with hydrogen, three hydrogens on it. And so in our body, there are a lot of things that donate this methyl group. And when you donate a methyl group, it kind of turns on the activity of other very, very important processes. So I'll read the short list of what it does for our body. It helps us detoxify, mostly through the liver, but the kidneys as well. It helps make and use our neurotransmitters in our brain. It helps with histamine metabolism. And histamine, when it's overdone, can become like a mast cell disorder, or you become more allergic to the things around us. So most of the people who are in the homes reacting to stuff have a methylation imbalance to begin with. It's also involved with estrogen metabolism. So the better methylated you are, the less issues you have with estrogen. Also fat metabolism, your ability to use fat. Eye and liver health and energy, and it protects the DNA and the heart. Some examples of methylators are 5-methyltetrahydrofolate, the active form of folic acid, methylcobalamin, the active form of B12, P5P, pyridoxal 5-phosphate, the active form of B6. And when I say active, what I mean is all of these things are circulating in our blood or in our body, and they're not actually usable until the methyl group attaches to them. That's when they become functional. So you can get a B12 test, and it comes normal in normal range, but you can be B12 deficient because they're not being methylated properly and you're not using it. So it's not just how much you have, how much are you using? Another one is riboflavin 5-phosphate. That's active B2. Magnesium is needed for methylation support, which we just talked about how that's the number two deficiency worldwide. Betaine or trimethylglycine. Glycine is very important for the bile and the liver to help us detoxify. Betaine helps with the stomach acid. Betaine HCL is one of my favorite supplements because we're so deficient in stomach acid. So all these people are deficient in stomach acid, a lot of times have methylation imbalances.
And what's your favorite? Say that again.
Betaine HCL, hydrochloric acid.
Interesting.
I get excited when I say it. I don't know.
He gets excited about the basal ganglia, too.
Yes, my favorite area of the brain, yes.
Wow. So when a person has, what's the word or the phrase when the methylation isn't working? Or there's a term for that.
Well, it's usually just the MTHFR gene is what people ask. So do you have the MTHFR gene? That's just asking, do you have a gene where you can't convert folic acid into the methyl tetrahydrofolic acid? And so
I think I have that gene.
Yeah, so a lot of us do actually. Yeah. And so some of the examples are if you don't have the neurotransmitters, people with methylation issues don't detoxify as efficiently and they don't make the neurotransmitters, which makes them more prone to anxiety, depression, or worrying. And those scenarios right now in the world we live in are oftentimes used up very, very quickly.
So if someone's listening going, okay, talk to me in lay terms because that maybe I have that, you know, I don't have anxiety issue. I think I have situational anxiety as far as I'm stressed or if there's a conflict or something, then I, you know, but overall I'm pretty joyful, pretty focused, but I can't metabolize these B vitamins. It's like you've got me in a very specific dose. I go above that, I'm up all night. I take one cup of organic coffee in the morning. If I have a cup and a sip, I literally am up all night. Like, I don't know. I can't metabolize certain things or why I'm so sensitive.
Yeah, that's the methylation issues with a most likely a COMT issue that we were talking about earlier where certain things get released, adrenaline. As we start to improve reserves, that means the adrenal glands has more adrenaline cortisol to be able to release. So there's a time that it takes to, number one, build up the reserves. But then you also have to build up the responsiveness of the adrenal glands to release those chemicals, which means that it takes repeated times of being under stress and not releasing those chemicals.
So that goes back to stress management again.
Yes.
Yeah. Interesting. Because as you're building up reserves, I can feel myself like the potential of taking advantage of my reserves by putting my foot on the gas and running too hard. And then I feel it. I feel that I... I'm playing with fire.
Yes, you know? And, but I'm writing about this right now in my book, which I just finished my book proposal
today.
Come
on,
so
way to go.
I'll let you know that.
Yay.
But one of my patients who's from Napa Valley, he's in the book. We write about his story because he, very similarly, it took us months to start to build his reserves. He was making small gains along the way, getting healthier and healthier, but he was part of those Napa Valley fires a couple years back. And he literally had a fight or flight moment where he was running for his life, grabbing his family to get away from his home because the fires were that close. And the craziest thing happened. He basically, after that, it was 2 weeks of fight or flight because he never did lose his home, but it was that close and he was helping people. And he just went into hero mode. He just went into the best of who he was. But from that moment on, he was symptom free. And so he went a leap from 30% improvement to 100% improvement because his brain now had a different context for what was stressful in life.
Wow.
And what he used to perceive as stress was no longer stress. And so he stopped getting triggered and his adrenal glands
reset.
And so he instantly, and so we give the credit to God because that is a God thing to use a fire like that for a healing.
Wow.
And this gentleman is phenomenal. And so he's in the book and his story is crazy, but it's very cool. It gives me goosebumps to talk about it. But that's a perfect example of how an adrenal gland can reset. So we have to not just avoid stress. When I say manage stress, we have to experience it. And I'm not saying I'm going to set my patients' houses on fire to get them to reset, but we need some level of that in our life. So it either happens slowly over time where you reestablish that stress response, or we work on focusing on that surrendering or whatever it looks like to get that experiential difference between what's a true stressor in your life and what's not.
I don't know if this is even a proper application, but back when I was in the fitness world all those years ago, way back when someone would pull a muscle, the docs would give muscle relaxant and send them to bed. But in fitness, you know, we had 30 instructors, a gajillion classes to fill. So we didn't adapt to that. We did ice, we did a little bit of ibuprofen, and we engagement. Just do what you can. And we responded and react and healed so much faster than, you know, somebody who's on the couch for weeks and everything's kind of, you know, whatever. It seems like engagement with wisdom is always good, because when I even hear about people with autoimmune and chronic issues, I feel for them because I've walked it. But if you get sulked into that too much, where you identify more with your sickness than you do with engagement, I feel like everything atrophies. Do you know what I'm saying?
That's exactly right. Yeah, I couldn't say it better.
Wow. So I'm right about that.
You are correct.
Wow. We have it on tape, Kim says. You were here. Did you hear that just now? Did you see what happened just now? No, I'm just kidding. But I've kept you long enough, and Kim, our producer, stayed on so kindly to do this bonus material. But I want to make sure I circle back this last question. So for the person listening who feels like, I think I have a methylation issue, and I don't understand all the names of those vitamins you just said, what are some steps that they could take?
Well, first of all, I've got a list here of the different things that get affected with methylation issues. And like we said, there's detoxification. So if there's an imbalance of detoxification, headaches, feeling like you have a chronic flu or fatigue is a very big part of it. Pain increases with methylation issues. Anxiety, depression, or sleep disorders increase with methylation issues. Some cardiovascular disease as well. But when it comes to methylation and the switch is turned off, then a number of other important molecules in our body don't get produced as efficiently. The first one is glutathione. Mm. Glutathione is our number one antioxidant in the body that helps protect us against heavy metals and detoxifies the bigger chemicals out of our body. Coenzyme Q10, which is the major antioxidant that helps with our muscle and heart function and brain function, so it's the powerhouse of every cell. Melatonin, the deep sleep hormone, gets impacted. Serotonin, the feel-good hormone. Nitric oxide, which actually helps to deliver blood flow to the GI tract in the brain, becomes compromised. Norepinephrine, which is adrenaline and epinephrine. So there's fluid distribution imbalances and stress management imbalances. L-carnitine becomes compromised, which is important with how you metabolize and break down sugars and fats and use them for energy. Cysteine is also very important. N-acetylcysteine becomes glutathione down the road, but cysteine is needed to make what we call MT or metallothionein proteins that protect us against chronic infection. So people who have candida over and over and over and over again, it's almost always an MT protein deficiency, which requires cysteine and zinc. But methylation issues are a part of that. And then taurine, which helps with neurotransmitters and also with removal of toxins through the bile. Foods that are high in these B vitamins and other methylators: asparagus, avocado, broccoli, Brussels sprouts, green leafy vegetables, legumes like peas, beans, lentils, and rice. And lifestyle changes include engaging in regular physical exercise, avoid excessive alcohol consumption, don't smoke, and avoid excessive coffee consumption. Not more than 5 cups daily, just for excessive. Yeah, that not the people. Any people do that. I have people who have like pots of coffee.
Wow. Amazing. Well, Doc, I kept you long, and Kim, producer, thank you for sticking around in the studio. Appreciate you both so much. Look forward to our conversation next month. God bless you and all you do. Thanks for all you do for our listeners.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, have a great day. And thank you, dear listener. Hope this bonus spot helped you. It sure encouraged me. We'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to this Middays with Susie Larson podcast. These conversations are available because of listener support. You can make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. To avoid missing future editions of the show, subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of Middays with Susie Larson.